Before we begin, Simon and I would like to acknowledge that we're gathered today on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nations. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Combomeri people, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay our respects to Wurundjeri and Combomeri elders past and present, and extend that respect to any First Nations listeners.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And I'm Simran Pastricha.
And this is the podcast for Burnt Out Divas.
Trying to stay broadly relevant. Can you tell that we're back in person because we got it in time this time?
It's so good.
It's so good. I see his eyes.
What's exhausting you?
Oh, okay. You.
I'm sorry I've been busy.
No, and I love you dearly. And actually, it just came out like that. I didn't mean it to at all. I don't know why it came out. Was it subconscious? Maybe, but I love you so. Because I also exhaust myself and you many a time, so it's fine. What about you?
Producing a large event with 750 attendees.
Yes!
Which happened last night.
Yeah, the Green Room Awards. You did it.
I didn't win one.
And the someone you said to apply to the Green Room Awards won. So, like, that's exciting, exactly. I feel.
Broadly culture.
What's happening in culture this week? I think I'm going to go first.
I think I have the bigger news story.
Okay, actually, you go.
Well, for those paying attention, Queen Mary and King Frederick of Denmark have been touring Australia, which I think is so funny. The concept of royal tours. If you're not across it, Queen Mary and King Frederick, they're like the royal family of Denmark, which I think is really fun. Obviously, royal family is like, oh.
Totally. Which is why I was surprised when you, of all people, came to me with a monarch story.
But the fun one about this one is that Queen Mary is from Tasmania.
Yeah.
From Tasmania.
No, so people are from Tasmania.
Tasmanians can do anything.
No, they can.
And so this pair, they met in Sydney in 2000 in the Olympics at a pub.
No wonder you like this story. It's Olympic linked.
No, apparently it was like a private little like dinner at like a local pub.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was just like randomly invited and then fell in love with a crown prince. Didn't even realize he was a crown prince when they initially started chatting.
Why am I never invited to these pubs?
Literally. Apparently you need to have like friends with the royal family in Spain.
And we'll do better.
Which was her connection.
That'll do it.
Tasmanians with friends with the royal family in Spain can do anything.
Was that silent?
And then they fell in love. She didn't speak Danish when they like fell in love.
Yeah.
But they got married. She moved to Denmark. She learned Danish. And now she's the crown prince. And like, I watched this video of her like speaking Danish in public for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so cute because she was like, in Danish. Like, yeah. She was like, bear with me. I'm not perfect. But I'm like, that sounded perfect to me, girl. Yeah. I couldn't understand it.
I saw this video of her and maybe her husband, like her husband, like it's not the king. But anyways, whoever she married, they were like walking around Uluru.
Yeah.
And I heard her speak and it's so funny. I feel like her accent, like her Australian accent is trying to come out, but it's like been changed into this Danish accent, which is quite funny. But I didn't know about their love story, actually. I had no interest, but now I do. Maybe Ryan Murphy will turn their love story into the next season of Love Story.
No, and I can't wait.
I can't.
But here's the tea. Four hours ago, they arrived in Melbourne.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they met Margaret Gardner, who you may know because you visited Margaret Gardner. Margaret Gardner is the governor of Victoria.
Oh, I visited her house.
She visited her house, which is where the royals are currently right now.
Oh, wow.
Or were 4 hours ago.
Fine.
Yeah.
Her house doesn't have air conditioning. She should really sort that out. I don't know that's
a pretty cold day.
I was just sweating a lot. But the royals seem to be coming here, like to Australia. Meghan Markle is going to come soon. She's on like a speaking tour, but you have to pay like thousands of dollars to like to.
What's up with speaking tours?
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, should
I
we
don't
do
trust
one?
Them. I'm like, start a podcast.
She did. She tried.
What happened?
I liked it. I liked the podcast. She like interviewed lots of influential women and then Spotify didn't want to give her the clout anymore, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
Pour one out for a real one.
Hey, maybe you can join the Broadly Media group, Meghan Markle.
If you're out there.
We have a spot for you.
And what's your news story?
Okay, so anyways, everything is bad, so.
What do you mean the royals are here?
You're so right.
Danish royals are here.
No, literally, you're so right.
Did I say Danish or Dutch during that whole thing?
Danish.
Good, because that was correct.
Okay. What's the difference?
They're different countries. So Denmark is Danish.
Yeah.
And the Netherlands is Dutch.
Okay.
And then German is Deutsch. No, and Europeans, very easy to get them confused.
They all look the same.
They do.
I'm not racist. I'm just brown. Okay. Anyways, so the news is that, do you remember the TV show Pretty Little Liars?
Yeah.
Okay. You should, because I talked about it a lot in grade 12. So like, I don't know,
like,
why.
I remember everyone talking about it.
Okay, totally. That's good. Okay. So you listened to me in grade 12. Okay. So Pretty Little Liars was a book originally. It's like a series of books. So this girl online, she went to go read the book again, and she got it on her Kindle, and it was like an ebook, and she was reading it, and like in the first five pages it mentions TikTok, but the book was published in 2006 and TikTok never existed in 2006, famously. Isn't that crazy? So they went in and they changed the book.
They edited the book.
Like, isn't that, yeah, so wild. Okay, so the original line is, you guys want to come over and watch Fear Factor? This guy is doing a challenge where he eats bugs, something like that. But it's rewritten to say, you guys want to come over and watch this cool TikTok I found? This guy is doing this challenge where he eats bugs. So obviously, like, they've tried to, like, update the book to literally have current day references. Literally, why? Second of all, it's the reference doesn't even make sense, because who comes over to another person's place to watch a TikTok when you could just send it to them?
I think we should normalize that, though.
No.
What if you came over for TikTok night?
So true. Actually, I do that with my partner, because she just sends me a bunch of TikToks and I never open them. But then when we're together, we go through all of them.
I do that with a lot of people too.
We bank them up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta.
Okay, so I'm not like about to defend this change in the book then. Because I think that's actually insanity that they changed like
did
the
they
book.
Change other stuff?
Yeah, so there's like a couple of different things that are changed in the book.
Wait.
So like, obviously very scary, spooky stuff, if I do say so myself.
Well, are you across like what happens on like the streaming services where they're re-editing old TV shows to make them like run faster?
No.
Yeah, like I watched this like TikTok of like, and it was comparing like a DVD recording of this sitcom from like the 90s or something. I don't know what the sitcom it was. But then it was like showing like the version of it on Netflix versus the DVD. And it was like for the first like maybe minute, shot for shot, the same thing. And then it starts like changing, and the Netflix version, like all the shots are like just slightly faster. And you're like, wait, we're doing retention editing to archival TV shows? What
That's
the heck?
Crazy. That's like similar to Matt Damon also saying he like revealed that Netflix likes to repeat the plot of the movie multiple times throughout the movie because people are like watching it while they're on their phone, so it needs to be reminded. They actually did a spoof about it on the in the Oscars yesterday.
No, but that's such a Netflix thing.
No, it totally is. It's very it just like feels like
and because I catch myself doing it and then I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, put the phone down.
Consume
absolutely.
TV show like it's a vegetable. No.
What does that mean?
Like seriously, with intention.
Oh, okay.
Like we don't casually eat vegetables. Vegetables are like serious, you know?
What are you talking
like
about?
Like TV.
I casually eat vegetables all the time.
But you focus on the vegetable, right?
No. What do you mean?
I can't explain it, but the energy of eating a vegetable is the same thing as watching a TV show with no phone. That's the same energy. Do you know what I mean?
I wish I did.
Like eating a cucumber.
Yeah.
Watching a TV show with no phone in hand.
Yeah, okay.
Does that not feel the same? Like there's intention. There's like commitment, you know. There's like
you're doing
an investment
something
in yourself.
Yeah, totally.
There's care there.
Yeah, totally. And I've always said that.
Because you know, it's like if you're eating a cucumber,
yeah,
you can't have your phone in hand.
Why not?
Because like one hand has the knife, the other one has the fork.
Why am I cutting? Is this? I don't really think about what you're saying here. Speaking of intention and care. Anyways, I think that nobody should be editing books like that.
Agree.
And then I'm like, okay, physical media, bring it back, you know?
Well, yeah.
But then it's also like, oh, like actually printing books is like bad for the environment, no?
Well, I've read something that like you only need like for an ebook reader to be like offset. You just need to like read 13 or something books on it to like offset. Do you know what I mean?
Pardon? Sorry. We are just missing each other today.
Let me explain that one more time for you. So like the emissions that are generated from the production of one ebook reader are like kind of equivalent to, and I don't have the precise number on me right now, around like 13 books, like a stupidly low number of books. So like e-readers, you know, like you
I
just
understand.
Have to read 13 books with an e-reader to have.
I hear you.
To emissions.
I feel offended by this book change thing. Because it's like, why does...
What's like the sanctity of marriage?
Okay, yeah. Your comparisons are awesome today.
The sanctity of physical media.
So true, so true. And it's like, why won't the creators trust that I understand what historical context is, you know?
I mean...
Like, I could go on TikTok and look up Fear Factor and I know what it is.
But it's also that thing that, like, there is, like, a literacy crisis, you know?
Yeah, true.
And, like, maybe, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of companies are catering to the lowest common denominator. And I get why, because you've got to maximize margins. But I'm also like...
Okay, my capitalist king.
And I'm also like, what if we assumed the best of people and assumed that people were smart, you know?
So true, so true. You literally said this to me last week and you yelled at me for like dumbing down people.
You shouldn't do it, but I get why they do it. You know what I mean? It's bad, but like, I get it.
Totally.
But I'm not convinced that's going to sell any more books, because also by the time you get to that reference, you've already bought the book.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And speak on that.
No one's buying a book because they know it mentions TikTok.
So why do it then? Explain capitalism to me.
The other thing I'm like, and this goes back to like the, why are we re-editing videos for Netflix? And like, why are we editing books?
Yeah.
Why can we hire artists to do that work, but we can't pay them to just make a new TV show?
No, totally.
Or a new book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And since you brought it up, this is something I find.
You brought it up.
Not that I prefaced this whole section so that I could talk about this situation.
Why?
I like that there's like lots of book adaptations. Yay, like good.
I'm sick of them.
But I'm over it. Come
I'm
up with a new
them.
Idea. And did I say like, this last week? Maybe.
I don't think so. And everyone's like, have you read the book? And I'm like, no. And I frankly don't care to. Yeah. You know, I want my movies original.
Yeah. And like, I'll read the book, but I want a different movie.
Also, bring back book adaptations of films.
Book adaptations of films. What is, I don't think I've read one before.
Well, so like Doctor Who has like a whole lot of like book spin-offs.
Wow.
And Doctor Who will have like book versions of episodes.
Yeah.
But like, they're not like scripts. They're like, it's a book.
Yeah, okay.
It's fascinating.
That is very interesting.
Haven't read any of them. I have no interest in them.
But like, bring it back.
But like,
flip it.
Flip it
and reverse it too.
I think that's
flip
interesting.
Flip it around.
Exactly,
wing
exactly.
And
win. Yeah.
Exactly.
Broadly News.
Okay, so Queensland is in trouble again. It's happened again. The Queensland police in specifically. So we're talking about a disturbing case out of Queensland. One that raises kind of questions around racism and accountability within the police force. So the usual. So a rideshare driver, known only as Singh, says he was wrongly accused of committing an indecent act in his car. And he's now suing Queensland police, claiming he was racially vilified, denied legal help and a translator, and dragged through a year-long investigation, all based on a complaint that ultimately fell apart. So this started on Invasion Day in 2023 in Brisbane. And and Singh, who is Punjabi, was accused of masturbating in his car. Court documents now show that witnesses later refused to testify. So the whole thing was essentially dropped, the case. Apparently, allegedly, the witness also hurled racist abuse at this person, calling them like an effing Indian dog and a whole other bunch of horrible things that I won't mention here. And when police arrived, Singh showed them his Uber logs and call history, proving he'd been on the phone with his sister for nearly an hour. And there was just like a bunch of things. I'm not really going to get into like the actual case, but a shocking detail that's come out is that a body worn camera captured one officer telling another that effing Indians are a bunch of perverts. Oh. Yep. And so now that initial case has collapsed, Singh has chosen to seek $500,000 in compensation, alleging negligence and racial discrimination by the police. Of course, Queensland Police denies all claims and says the recording was made accidentally. So The Guardian has reported on this. They've done really great reporting, and we'll link it down in our show notes. And
side note, did you hear they're getting a new editor?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy tea. Back to you.
Side note. So Singh says, I was robbed of all dignity even after the charges were withdrawn. I was left completely isolated. And his lawyer says this experience has been soul-destroying, leaving Singh unable to finish his studies and facing deportation. So it, obviously, this is like truly the most horrible thing that I've ever heard. It's a complicated issue. And I also think that I have not seen this been covered a lot in the news. The initial Guardian story came out 2 days ago, so this is Tuesday that we're like recording, and yesterday was the Oscars, so like a lot of like news was pushed to
it's
cover
that. It's a good day
that,
to bury news.
Right, exactly. And yeah, it's quite disarming, especially because a lot of like the politicians in Queensland are very like, they really tap into the South Asian community when like election season comes around. They're like, we're protecting you, blah, blah, blah. We're gonna, but then they're also like in the pockets of the police, obviously, and like work so in line with them. And no politician has like come out to say anything about this situation. Like no one has really said anything about the case or the racism ensued. The Race Discrimination Commissioner said the officers were officers' remarks were clearly a racist statement, and I think the Indian community would be very distressed. We know that migrant communities are sometimes reluctant to engage with the police because they feel that they won't be heard, that they won't be believed, and that they're not represented. And this kind of incident just perpetuates that harm. And correct. But where is everyone else? Like, why is nobody else saying anything about this situation?
Well, like, racism is, like, okay in Australia. Yes. Like, it's not, but, like...
Yes, yeah, but it's, like, viewed as okay in
Australia.
Did
you know?
I know.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And I just, it's very disheartening because I obviously we know that like South Asian hate is like alarming these days. And then like Indians like more like, you know, heavily so. And like when you're seeing like people go through the street, like telling me that I don't belong here and like I should go back and I should like essentially die. And then the police, like something like a body that I'm supposed to be going to theoretically like protect me. Like I don't feel very safe in this country essentially.
Well, theoretically.
Yeah.
That's like a weak theory.
A weak theory that they're supposed to protect me.
Yeah, I'm like.
Since when? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't, it's not very heartening to hear that like, obviously like the police suck and then no one else wants to say anything about it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my tea. What's your news?
Yeah. I love how when I was pitching news stories, you were like, and what's your take on that? And I was like, it's bad.
And my take on this, it's also bad. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. So we can just call things bad now.
Ryan, I literally just opened up to you and said, I'm scared to be alive in Australia. And you said, that's it? That's all you have?
I think we should send the white people back.
Yeah. I'll sign that petition. And me, I guess, too.
No,
like, no
like,
one should be here.
Free visa to Ireland. Let's go.
Yeah.
For me.
And that's your take?
That's not my take.
I had, like, I guess I had, like, a different take, actually, about
go
how
on.
Indians in general are... like so much is like taken from us and like no credit is like where credit is due ever. Like even like if you want to like look from like a cultural point of view, like the Oscars like yesterday, there were like three different like designers that, you know, like or like three different outfits that were like very like Indian inspired, like by Gracie Abrams and like Bella Hadid. And like they're just like wearing like the dupatta and like making a langa. Like that's just like one little thing. And then when we do get credit, it's like in the view of like the white gaze, you know, like it like it's only because we're suitable
gaze.
To white people. G-A-Z-E.
So I just wanted to check. But, I was like, what's the
as
allegation
a white
here?
Gay. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's just, it's very, I can't win is the thing. Like,
no.
Like we can't win. And I don't know how.
Well, the structures are set up for you to lose.
Yeah.
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 Which is why we burn them down.
How?
Fire.
Nice.
Thank you.
Is that enough of a take for you?
That was a great take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It all sucks. I don't have any further takes. And like, I could relate it to like the way queer culture gets capitalized, but also the queer cultures that get capitalized aren't mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 Wait, go on.
Well, because you know how like everyone's like gag and boots and all that.
Yeah.
That's like
from black culture.
Exactly. Yeah. From like black ballroom culture.
Yeah.
Which is not my culture, but yeah. like it's weird how it's like been whitewashed into that's your culture.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. I feel like that deserves a further conversation, and maybe that'll be next month's deep.
Okay.
Okay.
We can talk about that.
Sure.
Great.
Speaking of talking about things, what's your news?
Well, in other Queensland news, yes. because it turns out
Queensland is letting us down.
We're a podcast about Queensland now. They passed in the past couple of weeks legislation, like not just like proposed legislation, they passed legislation.
Yeah.
Literally making it a crime to say from the river to the sea, which I think that's crazy because they're just words, and also rivers in fact do flow to seas, which is a separate discussion.
Like on that.
I literally took geology lessons in geography lessons in Queensland.
Yeah.
And I learned about where rivers go.
Yeah.
You know, and Miss it is Kava the Gibson, sea.
She told us.
Well, Dr. Johnson.
Yes.
You know, when we waded into a river.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, that's the sea over there. And I was like,
Yeah. Clocking.
From the river
to the sea.
To the sea. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Anywho, but what's happened in the past week is that there's been people who've been arrested now at protests for saying from the river to the sea. And it's like young students, of course, who are like at the forefront of the protests getting, you know, locked up. And so now what we're going to see is how it holds up in court. Because I was reading a little bit of commentary when like the laws were first put out, which was like, it might be really hard to, what's the term for like when you find someone guilty?
Convict?
Yeah, it might be really hard to convict based on these laws because you have to, I can't remember the specific wording, but it was something about like there has to be like a victim who feels like they were in harm as a result of from the river to the sea. And so how does a court define harm is like, and what is harm from, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of questions of like, how do you attribute the harm to that sentence versus just the fact that there was a protester and, you know, the presence of like, you know, like other things that could cause harm to someone who thinks that from the river to the sea would cause harm, you know?
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see that play out in the courts. And it's just like really fucked because I'm like, I've said that publicly.
Yeah. In You've Queensland. Said that publicly.
Well, I don't think I've said it in Queensland.
Why not?
No, and that's on me, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, am I going to get arrested when I cross the border?
Yeah.
You know, and like balance of probabilities, no. And that's my privilege. And I'm so grateful for it.
Okay.
But I'm also like, that's really fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially when they're like, I feel like there's more and more in this world that we have to like protest about.
100%.
And then like the clear censorship that's like coming from that is kind of means that the protests are like shaking, you know, the government in a way. But
it's just so irritating that it's like, why do you have more like, why do you have more of a problem with the fact that someone says from the river to the sea rather than genocide, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm really not a fan of genocide and war.
Yeah. I think that's a good take.
And it is. Thanks, Simon. <Yeah. laughs> It's just like, why do we every day have to wake up in a world where that's the default and questioning that is the problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, why is it controversial or why is it notable? Like at the Green Rooms yesterday, why is it notable that like when people in their speeches said genocide is bad, why was that notable? Yeah. Why did nobody say Palestine, you know?
Hey, and we'll get more into that in our deep dive.
Okay, I'll hold it. And then the second news story that I want to talk about is from today, which is that the New South Wales government is going to strengthen laws to protect the LGBTQI plus community, which I read that headline and I'm like, are they really?
Yeah.
But then I read some really good coverage from Patrick Lenton writing for the Star Observer. And basically the laws are, so you know how like people will like, this was happening all the time in Russia in 2014. I remember because it was all I was thinking about. Mm. People will like get on a gay dating app and then like lure people to like come over and then like bash them and then like post the video.
Yeah, very big here.
Look, I beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, massive. Yeah, very big here.
There's like a hotline for people in Victoria specifically.
Yeah.
Experiencing that. Yeah.
And so basically the New South Wales government is like moving to make that sort of, the term they used is post and boast laws and make that illegal, which is like, and like strengthen like protections against the community. And I'm like, that's good. All of this is good. But just like the inclusion of the post and boast laws, I'm like, that's because I think sometimes when we focus too much on like specific petty laws and being boasted about online, it's like, who does that unfairly marginalize? And like, lead to convictions of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anywho, so broadly good. I just didn't like the wording.
It's always something with these
wokers.
Yeah, totally.
Anywho. But it's also just that interesting thing of like when we're talking about hate crimes, who defines a hate crime and what is a hate crime?
Exactly.
And who gets hated? And
yeah.
Who is it allowed to hate? Because they're, you know, like, and then the Albanese will get up and say, like, we don't want anyone to be a victim of hate in Australia. And I'm like, really?
Really? And all three of these like news pieces that we've spoken about today,
yeah,
all of them include like references to like hate crimes, and all of them are being handled differently
depending on who.
Exactly.
And it's, I mean, the other thing I'm like, oh, whoop-de-doo, the New South Wales government cares about queers now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, but I'm like, not enough to properly fund Mardi Gras, you know, not enough to like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's also that thing of like, I don't trust a lot of when the government's like, we're doing things for the gays. I'm like, you're doing that because gays have assimilated so well into dominant culture that like, you know, the gays have marriage now and whatever. Like, they're not going to rock the boat because they're happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, queers should be angry and more radical.
Period. Wow, that's the first time you've ever said that.
Broadly deep. Yeah, so I guess, you know, Simran, the topic you wanted to discuss today was, and I'm going to give you credit because
it's important to credit Brad Moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You wanted to chat about celebrities as activists.
Yeah. Well, okay. The Oscars were yesterday.
They were.
And they were quiet, is how I'd like to put it off.
Well, did you see the set design?
Yeah, I did.
With the gardens? It was designed as a tranquil oasis from the craziness of the world.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I hate that.
Which, interesting metaphor.
Yeah, really interesting metaphor, because this year I feel like there was like no one who really talked about... there was no one really talking about politics this year at the Oscars, and that really concerned me. I feel like there were a few jokes, like, you know, like pins, obviously, and like a lot of like nervous laughter. I'll run you through what was said, and then we can kind of go from there. So host Conan O'Brien opened by calling himself the last human host and joking that next year it will be like a self-driving taxi in a tux. Just kind of like talking about the rise of AI and the fact that the Oscars is now going to be moved to YouTube in 2029. Yeah. It's a while away still. But
We haven't spoken about that.
No. What, you want to talk now?
Well, I saw a lot of commentary that was like, this is bad. But I'm like, that's where the audiences are. Like,
yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know how I feel about it, but I agree. I don't like that Mr. Beast is involved.
Yeah, that's cringe.
But that's a different
topic.
But
I'm like, do we not already get all our Oscars commentary from YouTube?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, honestly, I was talking today with a colleague and I was like, I actually only started watching the Oscars in full for my job. Like, I never watched, like, sat down and watched it.
I wouldn't know how to watch them.
It was on 7+.
I don't even know what that is.
You do. Don't say that.
I don't have it.
But you know what it is.
I've only had to use 9 or 10. I don't know. One of them. I really...
I don't know the number 7.
I hate those apps. Put it on YouTube.
Are you having a boomer breakdown? What's going on?
No, I'm just like, just put it on YouTube,
okay,
you know?
Okay. Anyways, so... shut the fuck up. I'm keeping going. Okay. He also reminded that the last time that he hosted the Oscars, LA was battling a forest fire, and then sort of deadpanned to the audience and said, this year everything is going great. And then he also said that no British actors were nominated. And he said a British spokesperson said, at least we arrest our pedophiles. That was like, you know, a close swipe at Donald Trump, obviously. And yes. And then Jimmy Kimmel later on, when he was presenting the best documentary feature, he said, as you know, there are some countries whose leaders don't support free speech. I'm not at liberty to say which. Let's just leave it at North Korea and CBS, referring to the fact that his show got taken down because of comments that he made against Donald Trump. So like there were like political lines, I guess, but very muted, I would say. There was... Javier Bardem, he was on stage with Priyanka Chopra Jonas to present Best International Feature, and he said no to war and free Palestine while wearing a no to war pin and Palestinian support patches. I thought it was so funny that he did it next to Priyanka, which is like Miss Apolitical. Like, she does not say a single thing and has been, you know, famously like supporting like basically, I think supporting like Modi, who is Zionist. So like, you know, like it trickles there. But anyways, I just felt like last year there was more, and this year that everyone was like checking, you know, like to see if they could clap for things, essentially. And Hannah Einbinder, who is from Hacks, and at the Emmys, when she awarded, she accepted her award for Hacks. She finished her speech with, "Finally, I just want to say, go birds, fuck ICE, and free Palestine." And she was asked about the fact that people weren't very vocal this Oscars. And she was like, "I'm not surprised." She was like, "Are you surprised?" And she was like, "No, I'm not surprised," which totally makes the sense. But yeah, I just thought it was very interesting. There were definitely some pins. What do you think about the pin situation? Do you think that they do anything?
I mean, the fact that we talk about them, I'm like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you could go further and just wear a keffiyeh.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe Gucci is like, no, you can't put a keffiyeh on the outfit, but you can wear a pin.
Yeah, I guess like people like get sent outfits and borrow outfits. So like it's not their outfit to technically blah, blah, blah. But I like, aren't you rich enough to buy it? Sorry.
Was it Cate Blanchett at Cannes?
Yeah, and she had the dress.
The dress that made the Palestine flag on the red carpet.
Yeah, because I think they were told that,
I still think about that,
no political imagery was allowed on the carpet.
But then that imagery was so much more evocative than a pin.
Mm.
Like, no shade to pins. But I just, I'm like, oh.
No, I get you. I saw Charitra Chandran, who was from Bridgerton. She was like one of the Bridgerton girlies. She wore a pin and was, it was a ceasefire pin. And she was talking about it at the carpet on yesterday at the Oscars and was saying that it's like still important because people in Gaza are like still suffering and it's important to talk about.
Yeah, like they're, because there was no ceasefire.
Well, in all of the comments, everyone was like, there was a ceasefire. Like, it's fine now. And then, like, it's people in the comments, like, fighting, being like, this is not the case. Like, you know, people are still being, like, starved. People still being, like,
it's,
you know, bombed.
It's insane witnessing how effective Israel's PR machine is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, like, they can just, like, stop bombing for a day. They get all the news coverage and then start up again and know it's going to... Like, it's, like... insane to witness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So I think in this, like, illiteracy crisis... Mm. I think it is important for celebrities to do their part because sometimes that's all the news people are getting.
Agree. I don't like the fact that it's true.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Yeah. I guess like there's two camps, right? Like you have like the Jane Fondas of the world who are like very vocal, you know, like have been activists like throughout their lives. And then you also have the Sydney Sweeneys who are like, I'll speak on it like when it concerns me, you know?
And someone was in the news very recently for saying my art is... Was it Neil Patrick Harris? Here we are. Yeah, so this was at in Berlin. Neil Patrick Harris said, I think we live in a strangely algorithmic and divided world right now. And so as artists, I'm always interested in doing things that are apolitical because we're all as humans wanting to connect in some way. That's why we experience things together. And I'm like, I can appreciate the sentiment that art brings people together, but I also think framing the way you do that as being apolitical is fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be apolitical because silence is violence and we know that, you know, and every time you don't talk about Gaza,
you're contributing to the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's bullshit, but like I appreciate the sentiment, but like that's bullshit, you know, and I think apoliticalness, I can't remember why I brought up Neil Patrick Harris. Why did I bring up Neil?
I guess like the spectrum of like activism with celebrities from like Jane Fonda to Sydney Sweeney, who like won't speak about anything, to Neil Patrick Harris, who like says not speaking about anything is like a good thing, you know, and like purposeful.
But it's also like what, you know, you're like, we live in a divided media world. I'm not going to talk about anything. That doesn't bring the divide together.
Yeah.
That just means you can market to both sides of the divide, which is different. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not actually not healing a divide.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You're just exploiting the divide for money.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that celebrities do a really good job in checking and like using their power when it's like convenient for them. So they're like, oh my God, I have like all this power to like influence like the world and like change the world with my art, which is like inherently a political thing to do. But then when that gets like too much for them or they don't want it, they're like, I'm just an actor. Like, what do I have to say? You know?
Yeah. Yep. The avoidance of responsibility.
Exactly. And it's just like, oh, I do art so that people can escape and come together. But that in itself is a very privileged take and therefore like political. So it's 100%. So frustrating. And then even those who I will. OK, this is one a question that I had.
Drag them.
Totally. So the director for One Battle After Another, which won Best Picture. So they did it win Best Picture? I think it did. Sorry.
Let us know in the comments if we got that one wrong.
Totally. So the writer-director, Paul Thomas Anderson, he won two Oscars for Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Director. And he was asked after about the parallels between the film and real life. And in the film, it like goes into the themes of like white supremacy and war. And, you know, like it's clear that it's definitely talking about real world issues. Mm. And so in that way, it is political and contributing to the conversation. But then when he was asked about it, IRL, he was like, I thought we were going to a party, and like he joked about it. And then after, you know, a while, he kind of went on like with like the Wire India says a safe answer about how he had belief in the next generation and he hoped that common sense and decency would come back in fashion. So he says all of that. So it's like, I guess like the picking and choosing, how do you feel about that?
Well, but at the same time, it's like that thing that we've talked about that like you, like I know you're like woke as shit, you know what I mean? But, and I love that we're saying this publicly, but like when you go to work, you have to perform unbiasedness as a job, right? But obviously your political bias still filters through because of course it does. And it's like that thing of like sometimes as journalists or like as artists, there is a reason to remain silent in order to gain the platform to do the criticism. Like
totally.
Louis Theroux with, was it Settlers? The one about the settlers in the West Bank, the documentary he made. Yeah. You know, it's like in all his interviews, he doesn't say anything, you know, but like, I don't think you can make that documentary without being deeply critical of the settlement in the West Bank.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to be able to be someone to make that, you actually can't say anything beyond the art, the work you make. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I think there is a place for silence, but, you know,
strategically. So I guess the question is like, what does a celebrity or an artist owe us with their activism in showing us our activism?
Well, I don't think they owe us anything. They just want our money, you know?
But that's, I guess, like, this exchange perplexes me because, like, they are profiting off of our attention and our interest.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, are we owed anything in that exchange?
Well, I think the answer, like, I think to find the answer to that question, we actually have to answer for ourselves, what do we expect out of our parasocial relationships?
Yeah.
And then we need to hold our taste to the standard, to those standards, you know? Because it's for them, it's nothing. But for us, it's like, do I give that person my care and my energy and my attention?
Yeah.
And if you do, then you're accepting their politics. So you, like, it's actually about us. What do we expect from people?
Totally. And like, also, I think how much are we outsourcing our own activism and our own politics to people who are like, at the end of the day, just like very pretty strangers, you know?
Yeah.
Like the people that we support in this industry, like us getting like our news from them is problematic. And then also us, like, by affiliation of liking this one but not liking this one, you know what I mean? Like, how much does it really do? And like, what does it's still back on us, right?
Yeah. Well, it's because there's no media anymore.
Media. Yes, I've heard of her.
There's no media anymore because there's no money and everything's dying, you know?
Yeah
It's that thing of like, you know, everything's collapsing except we have money for Mr. Beast, apparently. so
true.
Should we check out? What are you excited to do for the rest of the day?
Ooh, I'm so excited to edit this and then get it out.
Yeah, in the next 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to leave editing in the next 40 minutes to go watch a play.
Yeah.
Which is about the collapse of the Westgate Bridge. And the impact on the workers whose lives.
Funnily enough, I'm going back to watch the rest of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Wow. And how does it feel to outsource your activism in that way?
Ooh! If you you liked this episode, tell a friend and leave us a little review if you would like on Spotify or an Apple podcast or wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to our Substack because we'll be chatting more shit in there. So
love you.
Bye.